the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, we are live. We are not on the red carpet, although with our background, it kind of makes me feel like this is red carpet-esque.
Jared? I got the paparazzi outside my window right now.
It's Emmys night. It's Emmys night. Now, that would normally not be a thing I care about. You are an award show guy. You are an award show guy. And you're doing this instead of watching the Emmys, and we appreciate you for that. However,
yeah, definitely, I'm a award show guy. Now, Emmys is my favorite award show, just to let you know.
They are?
Oh, yeah. I'm a TV guy. I'm not a movie guy. I mean, I'm a movie guy, but I'm not like what the Academy likes.
Well, because you didn't get to go out and see all the movies, but there's a better chance you've seen a lot of the television shows
I have no desire to go watch some like softcore, like weird, like period piece about a girl who missing a finger. It doesn't bother me. I like watching some kind of screwball comedy, you know?
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Your tastes trend more in the TV Emmy area. And to that point, Ted Lasso is up for 20 Emmys this evening. Mm. And so I've got a couple of things Emmy-themed and Ted Lasso-themed before we get into the meat of the show and talk about the U.S. men's national team and some other topics. First, I'm going to ask our intrepid producer, Nicholas Soup and Salad, to just keep an eye on the Emmys. So, Nick, let's go ahead and bring our man Nick into the program here because it's always good to see his face.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
There he is, Nicholas Soup and Salad. So, Nick, we could keep an eye on the Emmys, right? Like, just in the categories where Ted Lasso, in particular, is nominated, we just want to kind of update people as we go along here since we are live.
Sure.
Okay.
Not a problem.
It's a spoiler alert for people who maybe want to watch for later. We're going to talk about this.
Yeah, if you are saving
me,
the Emmys.
Mainly me, because I'm not going to know anything. You literally know some of the results, and I have no idea right now.
Do you want me to spoil them, or do you want me to save them because you're going to be watching later?
No, I want to. It's appropriate for the topic, so I think we should talk about it. So,
okay.
First of all, can we real quick one thing? Nick, you have to switch headphones when you have to come on the air? What's that about?
Well, there's a delay on the phone system, so if I'm listening in my AirPods through the phones, I'm going to be very confused, and you're going to be like, what is
see,
wrong?
Just behind the scenes, I had no idea that Nick had to switch headphones. I saw him do it live right there. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So Nick is going to keep an eye on the Emmy stuff for us.
We'll do.
Obviously, we have our phone lines open at 717-727-2378 if you want to call and talk Emmys or anything for that matter. Let's just lay that out there right now. Please call us up and talk about soccer.
Now, what's the update, though, dude?
The update is that Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent, won the Emmy for Best Supporting Actor
in
a comedy series, and Hannah Waddingham also won.
Nice.
For first two, Rebecca. Go ahead.
The first two awards handed out tonight. I just happen to be, we have a what's called Sunday Funday with a bunch of our friends, and usually it's a bunch of us sitting around drinking and watching football. Well, tonight, they put it on the Emmys, and the first two awards were to Ted Lasso, and I'm the only one there who gets up out of his seat celebrating that they have won, and they're all looking at me like, what is Ted Lasso?
Oh.
And then once I had to explain it to them what it was, like, people are on board, like, okay, I got to check this show out. So you're welcome, Jason Sudeikis.
Spreading the word, yeah.
He needed that.
Ship Nicholas Soup and Salad. A couple of bucks, I guess. I don't know. Some addition. Apple should be shipping you some money. I mean, it does feel like, I think there's one more show that I want to check out on Apple, and I keep forgetting to go back and look at Apple TV, but it does feel like people, what is it?
Mythic Quest?
You keep talking about that one in the Slack. I don't know what that is.
Okay. I'm just asking if that's the one. I don't know.
Maybe.
Morning show?
Anyway.
I watched the morning
show. That's the one I want to check out. That one looks wild. I should check that out. Nick, you're giving that one a thumbs up? The morning show?
And I'm not, and you know, if I'm saying it.
Okay.
Well, maybe you don't want to trust my judgment. I don't know.
Yeah, Steve says, will CGI Roy Kent accept the award since everybody thinks that Roy Kent is CGI somehow? Just because the man has good lines. I can't do what Roy Kent, Brett Goldstein does.
I can't come close to the manhood that Roy Kent puts out on
the screen. It's impossible. Yeah, so Nick is going to keep an eye on the Emmys, and he's going to take your phone calls at 717-727-2378 on the show tonight. The other Emmys thing was, I just feel like, you know, Should we talk about who we're wearing tonight? Who are you wearing, Jerry?
Oh, I'm wearing the Jomez Pro Pappy Sexton Ace Elixir shirt. This is.
Did you just make that up? What is that?
No, it literally says
random words.
Right there. What do you mean?
Sexton's Ace Elixir.
Jomez Pro is the preeminent disc golf coverage on YouTube. And this is a shirt that they put out because one of their commentators, they did a practice round. The guy threw a disc, laid on the ground. A fox came by, pissed in the disc, peed right in the disc, right? He gets the pee out. The next hole, he throws the disc, and he gets a hole in one with it.
Oh, so he needs a fox to pee in his disc every single time.
That's the ace elixir. The fox pee is the ace elixir.
Oh, my God. I don't know what's happening anymore. I've lost control of this
thing.
I did. I am wearing a Tacoma Stars jersey, long sleeve, which I very much enjoy.
Far more hipster than axe throwing, by the way.
Probably.
Wearing a throwback Tacoma Stars jersey.
This is not a throwback. This is current. This is a team that currently exists in the.
Well, that is a throwback logo for them. I doubt they're using that logo still.
MASL.
Right?
No. This is their logo. This is what the Tacoma Stars do right now. And I will let you know.
Need some updating then.
Just because of the. I need to clear up the bona fides here with this shirt. Mm. This was a gift to me from JP Della Camera. So thank you very much.
Well, that's a double humble brag right there. A not so humble brag, I should say.
I'm not humble bragging. I'm telling
you. Free stuff and from JP Della Camera.
A Hall of Famer broadcaster sent me a jersey for the Tacoma Stars.
Well, Nate Jaquia sent me this jersey. So this shirt. Beat that.
All right. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. I do think we should start with just sort of this is kind of tied into an Americans Abroad update, an injury update, and then a question that we have for American soccer fans, U.S. men's national team fans right now. Now, let's just kind of go through it, Jared. Giovanni Reyna did not dress, did not play, was not available for Borussia Dortmund in a win over Union Berlin, I believe. Erling Haaland went off and did Erling Haaland things, which is every week now. So, and we're pretty sure he's not coming back, Gio Reyna, until after the international break in October. And even if he does, he's in a race. He would be in a race to be fit, right? So it's almost like we just kind of got to give it up. It's not going to happen with Gio Reyna.
Dortmund's treating Gio Reyna like LA's Galaxy treats Chicharito. There's a convenient fixture in the middle of the schedule about a month away. They're going to hold him out till after. And it's basically the same thing. Why would they bring him back for any minutes ahead of the international break if they can get him another 2 weeks of health and not have to risk him being going out with the U.S. national team? He won't see a minute before that window.
So Giovanni Reyna is basically done for the window. Christian Pulisic was training today, probably won't play midweek in a League Cup match, according to Stanley Tucci, Thomas Tuchel, but could play or could be available for a massive, massive game against Manchester City coming up on Saturday.
Yeah,
if he's available, that obviously gets him on a timeline to be ready to play for the U.S. men's national team, we hope. But I don't think you can just assume he's going to hit full stride, be at top gear when you get to the early October window, right? And then you kind of toss out, like, Tim Weah is coming back. That's nice. Maybe he works his way back in. He missed the last window. Who else am I missing, Jared, in terms of attacking players that are kind of up in the air right now? Josh Sargent? What's his status? Where are we at? He started this weekend.
He started this weekend, but I from what I hear, he actually had a really good first half. But in the end, the read on Josh Sargent in this game was very similar to his read of a U.S. national team game, or every game of his career for the most part. Played really well, dangerous. Didn't score. And that's just kind of the what you're hearing. And he's playing out of position, or what we consider his normal position. Pukki's still taking the centered striker role. He's playing on the wing in a three-man front. So it's definitely a different thing, very similar to the role Josh Sargent played in the Honduras game for the U.S. men's national team. So it makes you wonder, is that the future for Josh Sargent, both internationally and at his club team? I don't know.
Right. And the way, so I'm talking about attacking players here for the most part. We know Weston McKennie, that is a question of how Berhalter views his place in the team after the disciplinary issues in Nashville. Tyler Adams, who was on the bench started on the bench for Leipzig in another draw. They're having trouble, right? He played in the Champions League, and they obviously had that insane game against Manchester City that went sideways for them. He's going to play, provided he's healthy. And when we put up our question, which is Brendan Aaronson the U.S. men's national team most important player? What I think we should keep
in mind is, for October.
Maybe Tyler Adams is still that player, But if we're talking about the attack, and you've got to go score goals, right? You got two home games. You need at least 7 points. You really should be targeting 9. Who's going to get the goals? How are you going to set them up? How are you going to create them if Reyna's not there? If Christian Pulisic is iffy to not completely healthy, is Brendan Aaronson the most important player in the window when you're talking about scoring goals, Jared?
I think you could say that for a number of reasons. I would say normally he would be down the pecking order a little bit, but because the players, like you said, the Pulisics, the Reynas, are not going to be ready likely for this window, Brendan Aaronson is the most in-form player in Europe for the U.S. men's national team right now. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument that Ricardo Pepi's in better club form, but that's at the MLS level. And also, he hasn't been tried too much at the international level just yet. So let's put him aside for a moment. But in terms of creativity and the players that are playing at the highest level in Europe, you're talking about Brendan Aaronson right now. And the kid scored another goal today. And it's a goal of sheer will, of tracking down, what is it, roughly his 70 yards or
his
so?
His first goal of the Austrian Bundesliga season. I mean, he's been good, but this is his first goal. And it was the dagger, right? They were up 1-0. It was already late in the game. But he's making that's like an 85-yard run. I think he was in his team's box when
from
he starts
behind
that
the
run.
Play, too. From behind the play.
He's making the support run that you have to make in order to keep defenders honest, and he gets the service that leads to the tap-in goal. The kid is relentless. He is just relentless. Now, that doesn't always mean he's going to be effective, but if you ask me, do I want an incredibly gifted player who only gives 75% some of the time, or do I want a player who's maybe not quite as gifted but gives 110% every single time he touches the grass? I want that second guy. That's what American soccer's kind of always been about, and Brendan Aaronson embodies that. I mean, the dude does not quit, and he wears a headband, so you can't go wrong there.
You can go wrong there, but I will let that go. There's definitely
wait.
Some,
is Brendan Aaronson going wrong according to the Rodeus?
Have you seen John McEnroe? Like, that's going wrong with the headband. You
that
know?
Was that's the 80s. Come on, you get Bjorn Borg and 70s, John McEnroe. Yeah. You can't put that. That's different style.
Okay, that's my point though. Who else is wearing a headband right now?
No, that's
a couple guys in the NBA maybe.
But we're in this weird zone where, like, you know, it, just like everything else, everything cycles around. What was old and ugly is now popular again. You know, people are flaring out their jeans again, Jared. That's happening. Things are going crazy.
It's very misguided.
Maybe Brendan Aaronson is on the... I mean, look, Zlatan's been rocking the ponytail for years when that was not cool anymore, right?
We can't ever mention Brendan Aaronson and Zlatan in the same
sentence.
No,
I'm not comparing them as players. You know I'm not. But Zlatan looks like an aging wrestler with that haircut, and yet he's still like, yeah, whatever, this is who I am, right? I don't know.
Here's the thing. Brendan Aaronson, you want that activity, you want that form, you want the pace and the ingenuity that he has. I just don't want him in midfield again. I mean, don't get me wrong. He could potentially play in midfield down the road another time. Right now, we don't want the El Salvador Brendan Aaronson.
Well,
we want the Canada and Honduras Brendan Aaronson.
Okay, so that's probably going to be – you're probably going to see him step into one of those wide forward roles. Now, Pulisic is healthy. He's going to start on the left side. Right? Is there any real doubt that –
we've watched him a number of times have reoccurring injuries that seem like small, and then they re-injure in practice and he's out for quite some time. So yeah, I don't believe until I see him on the field and I see him available and I see him on the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I Christian Pulisic's hamstrings and legs are not calves are not something I have a lot of trust in, but at the same time, there's two spots open there. Brendan Aaronson can be on the right or left to complement Pulisic in the end.
Right. Okay. You also, again, I mentioned Tim Weah. Now, not in this position, but maybe in the midfield. And if you're talking about Brendan Aaronson shouldn't be playing midfield alongside McKennie or whoever else is lined up there, then is Yunus Musah the guy? Now, Yunus Musah just came back from his own injury, and I am high on him, but I don't know. It seems a little...
Yeah, but I mean, today he looked shaky in the substitute appearance. Gave up, missed a mark on the Real Madrid winning goal. So it unfortunate kind of a debut back for him. He needs minutes. He needs to get into the season, to the rhythm. I think this is his first appearance. Didn't he get hurt right before the start
right
of the
before
season?
Right before the start of the season, yeah.
So in all intents and purposes, he's in preseason form right now. So to think that he's going to be ready in 2 weeks, maybe he's ready to call up. I don't think he's ready to start in 2 weeks.
Man, this is okay. So we've already established, I want to just come back to what Steve said, is Aaronson a central midfielder or a winger? Man, I don't. So in the 4-3-3, he is a winger, right? In a 4-3-3, he is a winger. But let's imagine that Berhalter decides to play a double pivot, right, and use a central attacking option rather than this the 3-4 play, or you know creates a situation where instead of two forward midfielders ahead of a lone holder, he plays a creative player ahead of two holding midfielders. Could that be Brendan Aaronson?
I like that more because it frees him up for the defensive responsibilities that I think he got mired in the El Salvador game. So I think, yes, he potentially could play it. It's like saying, was Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey better as a midfielder or as a striker? They could play both. You know, these guys can play multiple positions. They're able to. But I think for Brendan Aaronson, if you're going to play in midfield, I think it means, like you say, you put two defensive midfielders behind him and free him up to be creative. That's why you want him there. But in the end, for me, I just want his industry, and I want him running at back lines. I want him coming into late runs in the box from service from the other side. These are the things I think that make Brendan Aaronson different and dangerous, and I think he's best suited to play out on the wing in a three-man front.
Yeah, I think that's probably true right now. But just like everything else, and when we talked about the results from the first window and the way Berhalter tinkered with things and how do you get Serginho Dest on the field but not give up too much defensively depending on who you're playing and where you're playing them? You know, what kind of midfield structure are you using? There is a domino effect to all of these things, right?
And, yeah, and let me address this real quick from Zach Bruin. He says, is Zarda still on the mend? Scored this weekend against Matt Turner. So definitely he's playing again for Columbus, potentially going to be another asset as well in the U.S. men's national team 23-man roster for October.
So what's interesting about that is that if Zardes is scoring goals and he's healthy again, I think he's probably in Berhalter's team.
Yeah.
But what does that do for the forward pool that he used in September? Because none of those guys, I mean, all of them are healthy and all of them are playing. It's just a matter of, who do you think is the best scoring
option? At the central striker role, I mean, I think you probably still bring Josh Sargent because he's not really playing center for his club team. And you have depth. You don't have depth at that winger position. I think Reyna's position is obviously open. There, you could bring Zardes as a forward because Reyna is technically not on the roster. Not the same position, but in that forward pool,
so you're saying
there's a spot there.
Don't replace Reyna? I mean, don't replace Reyna with like for like. Replace him with a center forward?
Well, you already have Weah. Weah was still on the roster before.
That's true. That's true.
So there's no roster spot gain or loss by bringing Weah back. So you have Weah, Pulisic,
is that a combination? Is that Giovanni Reyna and Tim Weah smashed together?
Which is a hint at the game we're going to play later on the show.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So Aaronson, Weah, and Pulisic pretty much round out that three wingers that you could potentially have up there. You're probably bringing Hoppy and
Are you?
I think potentially you are, just because you're kind of short. Maybe you don't bring PFOC. I don't know. It's a question of, do you bring PFOC or do you bring Zardes in? I think that's the question, because,
well, so hold on. Ricardo Pepi is a lock to be on the roster,
for sure.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So and I'm you know, I did get in the habit. Chunky.
I can deal with that one.
We finally sorted it out. You're fine with that? I didn't give Mr. Aaronson his due, and I do have this. This is the beginning. I haven't isolated yet. I just love the drums in the beginning. You know what this is?
It's almost like the Top Gun like intro.
This is pure nostalgia. This goes right into my veins. Like it's just a thing now. Like,
so are the fans of Brendan Aaronson considered the A team?
The fans of Brendan Aaronson can say that. That's something I think you have to ask people that maybe watched him grow up in Philadelphia, I guess, I suppose. Look, so Pepe's on the roster. That's a lock. You can't stop the kid. He is the train. He's on fire. And you don't have another center forward who's proven he can score. I mean, PFOC is he's a useful player, right? Is he a 75-minute option? Do you really think you're getting enough out of him in 75 minutes? Is he goal dangerous? Is he doing enough hold-up work?
To me, he's more dangerous than Josh Sargent. So the question is, between Sargent, PFOC, and Giassi Zardes, do two of those three guys go? Or does one of those three guys go?
No,
because if you go take two, you're not taking Hoppy then.
You're playing three games in 6 or 7 days, whatever it is. You're still doing the travel thing because you got to go... Yeah, you got to go down to Panama.
You got Pepe on the side. You got Pepe on the side. So you have four guys. I think you take two of these four.
Okay.
Hoppy, PFOC, Zardes, Sargent. I think you take two of those four because you have three wingers hanging out on the side already in Pulisic, Weah, and Aaronson. Which two of those four are you, Jason Davis, going to take?
Zardes. Oh, man. Zardes and Sargent, I think? I think it's Zardes and Sargent. I think you're right. I think maybe PFOC is possibly out.
Potentially. Which, and that's unfortunate because that guy just scored the winner against Manchester United in the Champions League midweek.
Yeah, right? I mean, it was opportunistic, but...
But if you're going to take Ricardo Pepi, a guy that doesn't have experience in the system...
Yeah.
Then you need someone else out there that understands. I mean, hopefully someone understands the system. I don't understand the freaking system with Greg Berhalter. Someone out there must have an idea of what to play. But
that's the idea.
Sargent's his guy. Zardes is his guy. I think it's going to be tough for Greg Berhalter in a game where he's kind of on the hot seat.
Are we trying to figure out who his guys are, or are we trying to figure out the best options? Those might be different things. I mean, unfortunately, they might be different things.
I asked you who you'd take. So that's
fair. And I said the two I would take. I think those are the two I would take. I don't know. There's something about Sargent. I feel like it could happen at any moment. And I think you want to have him around because he is so effective in doing other things. I do think that he doesn't make good enough runs though. Like he may be back to goal solid, but I'm not sure he makes good enough runs. And I think Pepi sort of just instinctually, and this isn't about Pepi or Sargent, because again, I said they might both come. But Pepe's got that thing, right? It's the, I don't know, it's that innate ability to kind of slip in between center backs, find a gap. You know, it's not Wondolowski level movement, but it's enough that you're like, I can see it, right? I can see that if they put a dangerous ball in, Pepe's going to go find it and he's going to redirect it on goal. Whereas I'm not so sure about Josh Sargent doing that.
I agree with you. But if Ricardo Pepi is the guy on the field to score, is Josh Sargent on the field to create that opportunity? I don't think so.
So this is the thing that's a problem right now, right? If you don't trust the guys behind your center forward or wide of your center forward to be the creative players, to do the work of finding making the chances happen. And obviously, look, your center forward needs service if you're going to play with wide creators, and if they're not going to play with a central creator, because we know that the two water carriers basically that Berhalter uses, and neither of them, you know, generally speaking, no matter who he picks, none of them can seem to advance the ball themselves, right? So McKennie, yeah. Leggett, who else are we talking about? Roldan when he comes into the game, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, potentially Musa,
right? So everything is kind of tilted towards, okay, maybe Christian Pulisic is going to be our creative spark on the left side, but they didn't seem to use that space effectively or to give opportunities to Pulisic on the ball to be the man to make those things happen. So there's so many things that are sort of dysfunctional attack-wise that I struggle to say, well, this is a better forward option than this guy, right?
To answer the question we started this conversation with, for me, Brendan Aaronson may very well be the most important player for the U.S. men's national team in the October window. I think there's a very good chance that he could potentially be. He's definitely the most informed attacker. Outside of Pepi, like I said, Pepi's form is high. His confidence is high, but he's doing it at a admittedly lower level.
Yes,
right.
I mean, Pepi, I love the kid for what he's done already. I love the choice he made. I love how he talks about his story, even if, you know, there is some, you know, he's got to mature into being more comfortable in front of a microphone and things like that. We're not hating on him for that. Just a thing. But it is very much, and I think we thought Daryl Dike was going to be this guy, right? Like, he just doesn't know any better. Like, he just doesn't know he's not supposed to go score goals at the international level at 18. Like, whereas a player like Sargent now, even though he's still pretty young, he's always in his own head, right? Like, he's always thinking rather than responding and acting. Does that make sense?
But you're assuming that he has that instinctual nature to him. I think some people are just born with it. Pepe's born with that instinctual nature of knowing where to be.
That's what I'm
saying. To be on the end of a ball. I don't know if it's a confidence thing.
Maybe that's also unfair to Pepe because he has been working on his game his whole life. It's not like he hasn't been trying to learn how to be a good soccer player. But I think maybe the education he got in Dallas or something or whatever, maybe the cultural elements that impacted him as a young player have led him to a place where it just clicks for him in those moments, where Sargent seems to be always thinking about what he's doing, and then that causes a slower reaction. Or he makes good choices, but if he doesn't execute those good choices at a high rate of speed or a good, you know, at high level, then it doesn't really matter, right? Or it comes, it just falls apart at the moment it's supposed to come off.
That looks like nerves to me. That looks like nerves and confidence, to kind of speak to what you're saying before. But we're talking about Brendan Aaronson. There might be a guy on the line that wants to talk about Brendan Aaronson. I'm guessing by who it is that he's going to have something to say about this.
Okay, let's go here. Now, before I actually bring him on the show, I have to do this.
Is that JTT?
OMFBG13, it's JTT!
Now, what's funny about this, before Jonathan Tannenwald says hello, is that Jerry Dubois did this thing he does sometimes where he calls me up in the middle of the week. He's in his car. And he's like, Jason, I'm in my car, and I don't want to forget this idea I had, so I had to call you and tell you about it. And I'm like, well, thank you for being a safe driver, not trying to write down or make a note on your phone. And one of the things he said was, oh, we should have JTT on the show this week. And then I forgot to ask JTT to come on the show. But then here he is. So it worked out. Jonathan, how are you?
Well, I had this idea, you know, and I wanted to wait until I was home from the Union game to tell you about it.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a little bit of sarcasm in relation to what
you
said.
Oh, I see. Oh, he was okay.
JTT bringing the funny.
The theme of things.
Well, yes. the whole point was bringing on JTT, and then a corner of the thumbnail, we'd have a little picture of Jonathan with a JTT right over top of it.
Yeah, like a tabloid newsstand cover.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Down the corner.
Yes. All right, JTT.
I'm a broadsheet newspaper man. Thank you very much.
That's true. He's a legitimate newspaper guy, Jared. Let's not drag him down.
You said tabloid, not me.
You're the one who were mentioning paparazzi at the top of the show.
Okay. I was. You're right.
John, what do you got?
I'm here to resuscitate Daryl DK's national team career.
Oh, okay.
How are you going to do that? Mouth to mouth?
That's not appropriate.
No.
Okay.
I think that he was not in the September games because of his recent injury, not because of anything else. And I look at a set of players around him that, if you're going purely top of the depth chart all the way, it's potentially Pulisic on the left, Musa and McKennie in the middle, and Reyna on the right. And with that set of four players, I think you need a target guy up there to finish the service they're going to give him.
Okay.
And DK strikes me as being that sort of fellow.
I don't think you're wrong on that, Jeff.
You mean another one of those players?
I think PFOX the closest thing we have right now to that kind of player.
Sure, but you watched Pepe do that as in that game against Honduras. They score the goal because Pepe goes up and wins a ball in the air.
Yes, but you need a target guy, I think. And I think PFOX had a couple of subpar games in that set of qualifiers, no doubt. He'd probably be the first to tell you. But I would not say that Daryl DK's time with the national team is done. And if he comes in next month and scores a goal or two, then everybody's going to be fawning all over him all over again. Which only says to me that we fawn over whichever striker is scoring the goals.
Fair.
That makes perfect sense.
Fair, but that's the thing where we are with this. Now, I do think that's interesting because if that happens, and we don't know, but you know, it's a fine prediction to make, then that does kind of create, going forward from there, and whatever, you take goals, you take wins, however you can get them, it's a lot of Berhalter having choices, but they're imperfect choices. There's no, again, we come back to, there's no clear guy or even two guys who you can kind of rotate between because of the schedule and qualifying, John.
Well, I'm okay with that. In a way, I'm okay with that, at least, because the depth is going to what is going to win you some of these things when the other guy tires out in the third game of the set, or makes a formation change that they potentially shouldn't. But I think about DK in that context. I think in the long term about Jordan Morris in that context. I think about Tim Weah in that context, and I think also about Yunus Musa in that context, who not as a striker obviously, but in terms of depth and a guy who can potentially do some things for you, some very good things for you in the center of midfield. If you have a hole in the center of midfield that is approximately Yunus Musa size, especially when Weston McKennie isn't playing, although I think he will next month.
Mm-hmm. So, John, I got three things for you. Excuse me, two things for you then. One, if we were talking about the same situation that Jason and I were just talking about, and you have a striker pool and you're going to take three middle strikers, Are you taking Daryl Dickey in the October window? Is he ready that soon, do you think? And if so, who are your other two?
Yes, but I might take four of them. And the reason why I might take four of them is because there's no limit on how many people you can take for this thing.
There's a limit. Right. It's a limit how much you dress. Yeah, there's a limit how many you dress.
Yes.
That's fine. But if it's DK and Sergeant one night and Peacock and Pepe another night or whatever it may be, I think one of the things that this recent games taught us is that you might as well bring a big squad. You're going to pick 23 of them on game night, but you might as well bring a big squad because you might well need them all.
You know, this was something that Berhalter obviously chose to bring a bigger squad than just 23 for the first window. Then Weah goes down late before they gather, and he doesn't make a change there. Then he loses a midfielder when McKenney goes back to Italy because of the disciplinary issues, and he brings in Jackson Ewell. And I think the knee-jerk reaction is, what the hell? Why didn't he bring in somebody to replace Weah? Why isn't Hoppy in this team? And we go...
Or Gio Reyna, out too.
Right, when Gio Reyna went down with his injury. So do you, you know, I'm not saying you have an insight into the logistics of call-ups necessarily, John, but do you think this was Berhalter not being able to replace them because it was too tricky to get Hoppy in, because it was too tricky to call somebody else up? Or did he think, oh, I got enough, I have enough here? Because he didn't. He didn't in the end have enough.
My reading of it, and it's a little bit based on what Berhalter said at the time, was that they concluded it was going to be a little too tricky to call somebody in who was over in Europe on short notice, what with quarantine rules and the pandemic and so on and so forth. And that took out Hoppy. That might have taken out one or two other people. Now, if I was in his position, I would have called in Daryl Dickey, because you might recall the night after the first game, it was at the weekend, he scored that goal against Columbus where he dumped a bunch of guys on the floor and hit a belter of a shot.
Yeah.
I would have called him in. He wouldn't have had to travel far, you know?
But here's the thing, John, he's not even starting for his team. I mean, you saw him tonight. He came in, 67th minute or something like that. How did he look for the minutes you saw? And if he's not starting for Orlando, is he really ready to help the national team?
If he's not starting for Orlando in a game when they're playing 5-3-2 to get out of town without Nani and a few others, that probably says something else. I don't think it's about him.
Okay.
So we know what he can do, and he's demonstrated it sufficiently to me, and I think he's probably demonstrated it sufficiently to enough other people, and I think he'll probably be there. Ride the hot hand and putting Pepe on the field, which there are a lot of reasons why I might play Pepe, but ride the hot hand is one that I heard a lot. Well, DK would have come into town with a hot hand.
Okay. I mean, there again, I think it's a bunch of imperfect options, and I know you need more than a couple of bodies to get through this thing, but it would be nice to kind of have, well, this is our 1A guy, and this is our 1B guy, because you need somebody that you can be confident will score goals. Right now, you have one guy who looks like he can score goals in CONCACAF from that center forward position, and he's 18 years old, and it's very possible that that his form drops for whatever reason because he's 18 years old, and that's just a very nervy place to be.
I hear you, but we've been looking for a bell cow up front for how long now?
Since Josie's form dropped off, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So that's going on 5+. I think highly of Josie, but that's going on 1.5 World Cup cycles.
Four or five years at least, yeah, okay. Definitely. About that. Yeah. All right.
So Brian McBride, Joe Max Moore aren't walking through it tomorrow.
No, they're not.
I'd settle for Eddie Johnson.
Man, EJ, there it is. John,
so would he. Just kidding if he's listening.
I want to move into something else here, John. You got anything else?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm going to let you go. Do you have anything else you want to add to the show?
Oh, fine. Well, sure. No, it's fine. I think that was a statement win by the Union tonight, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. John Tannenwald, I'm going to let him go. I'm not sure what happened. Union making a statement, he says. And we haven't talked a lot of MLS. Speaking of DK, though, because I was curious where we were, and a couple of people in the chat saying, you know, Orlando kind of botched things with DK. They didn't handle the transfer rumors and everything else very well. He got injured. He played way too much. There are some new rumors, Jared, that Crystal Palace could be lining up a move for Daryl DK. Now, a couple of different sources on this. You know, transfer rumors are a bunch of bullshit most of the time. It's hard to know what's real. This one from The Sun, and I am not backing The Sun in any particular way, but here it is. Crystal Palace line up a Daryl DK transfer, but put off by Orlando City's £18 million asking price. Do you know what that translates to, that converts to in
25?
Good old American dollars? Nearly $25 million bucks. 24.7-ish
well, remember
million
the number. The number, initial number was 20 back in the day. Remember, that was the talking point late spring, and they were thinking, oh, we could wait for 30. They held, and I was a fan of them holding. You kind of wanted them to make the move at the time. It's starting to look like maybe you were right in the end on that, because what were we always worried was going to happen? He was going to get hurt, and the guy gets a shoulder injury during the Gold Cup. Doesn't show well in the Gold Cup, partly because that injury as well, I think, still to this day, that he wasn't full of fitness in those last games.
Mm-hmm.
His value is going down. He's not getting as many minutes with Orlando. He's got a couple of goals, but it's not in the same place it was. And I think Orlando's still trying to negotiate like it's May, and unfortunately, it's September.
Yeah, that might be true. Now, he obviously can't go to Crystal Palace or anywhere for that matter until January, and I'd be curious to know, I mean, when the United States was in the top 10, which they dropped down to 13th, Jared, I'm not sure if you have any thoughts on our ranking. When they were in the top 10, I think it's way easier. I got to look at the numbers. It's kind of one of those things like, well, it doesn't make a fundamental difference to the work permit issue if you're 10 versus 13, but it's possible. And he hasn't played a ton, you know, he hasn't played a ton of minutes for the U.S. men's national team. He played in the Gold Cup, and that was it. So if he doesn't play for the U.S. men's national team between now and January, is it even possible that he moves somewhere?
I mean, if the U.S. has another good window and gets 9 points from 2 home games out of 3 in this next window, they could conceivably jump back up to into the 10 by January.
Could. Well, you know? But again, I don't know that that's the thing that tips him over to getting a permit or not. I think it's caps.
I think it's how much. Sure.
It is, but it's like 75% if you're below this ranking and 50% if you're above this. So, you know, obviously the higher the ranking, the less caps, the fewer caps you need to qualify for a work permit, if that's something that we're talking about here. Now, generally speaking, and I'm going to come back to the question that we posed a little while ago before Jared Dubois got a game for us tonight that I think he wants to play. Wink, Wink Dubois? Is that what we went with?
Wink Rodius, I think you said.
Wink Rodiusdale?
No, we didn't have the Dale in there at all.
Is Brendan Aaronson coming up in October the most important U.S. men's national team player? We've gotten a couple. Todd says yes on Twitter, but we've got a couple that says hell no, or Tyler Adams is still the most important player. Again, I think, you know, obviously we have the question in the image that we put out there. I think I would love to just drill it down to attacking player. Is he the most important attacking player for the U.S. men's national team? People can respond to that. Do we want to?
I think people say it's Ricardo Pepi, but Ricardo Pepi, I think, is a constant. With Brendan Aaronson, it's the depth of the dearth of what's missing for the potential starters in the triage of people that we have at the winger position that are falling off right now with injuries, which makes Brendan Aaronson on his own, he's important right now because he's in such good form. But that's heightened by the fact that if we were to lose Brendan Aaronson as well before October, think of what we're talking about now about who could potentially be starting. You know, all of a sudden, like there's some guys getting call-ups that you may not be very comfortable with. We're talking about Matthew Hoppe and Josh Sargent just starting on either side of Ricardo Pepi. How does that make you feel at night?
Yeah, there's some stuff there. I think it's also, before we move on to your game, I think there's an interesting thing that's kind of, you know, hovering over this team. It's that, and we talk so much about the depth, and we talked about so much about how there's multiple options at a number of positions, and that's a good thing. You want depth, and especially with this qualifying schedule, you need depth. And yet I am nervous. I have some nervousness. I contain many nervous things about the potential big turnover, like a significant turnover for this team coming in October. And whatever you want to say about their performance in September, especially against El Salvador and Canada, continuity matters a little bit because you don't have a lot of time to work things out, right? You don't have training time, you know, to really fix any problems you might have or to sort of bring players up to speed in whatever your system is. And I know we're joking about Berhalter.
But that's
not
the same for all national teams. That's same for everybody.
It is. But if we're talking about, he called up 26 players originally. Weah got hurt. Reyna got hurt. A couple other guys, whatever. If he's basically turning over 10, 12 spots, which I think is possible, is that enough to make you concerned about a lack of continuity between September and October?
Absolutely. I think the number could be less than 10, and I'd still start to feel uncomfortable, to be honest with you. But you know what also makes me uncomfortable with continuity? A different formation every game. That makes me uncomfortable, too.
Yeah, the other thing about the lack of continuity, if you have to... So if you call in Hoppy, if you call in Joe Scally, who's tearing it up right now and maybe deserves a call, if you call in Chris Richards, although I'm not sure your center back situation is such a problem that you necessarily... But if he's in good form and he's sort of been lurking around there anyway...
If you're not going to play Walker Zimmerman, bring in Chris Richards, for God's sake.
Sure. There's a couple of guys like there are guys... And then, obviously, you're not going to have Reyna... You got some questions at center forward, so maybe you bring in another different center forward or two. Zardes could move into the team, obviously. He's been part of the system, I mean, part of the program, but he's not been here recently, and he certainly wasn't here to start qualifying. Is Yunus Musa coming in? So again, we're talking about changing a bunch of guys. If you're doing that, well, then play simply or figure out a way to play in a manner they can pick up like that quicker than what we've seen. Because, again, I talk about Berhalter complicating things, being a tinkerer, overthinking this situation. If you think the 4-3-3 is your best formation, then play a 4-3-3. Give these guys simple responsibilities. Ask your midfielders to make the runs necessary to open up space. Find a way to get Christian Pulisic in behind the line, in between lines, because what you've done so far didn't work, right? Don't go to a three-back system just because you have good wingbacks, if that makes it more complicated to play sound defensive soccer, right? Right.
Yeah, and I saw one person in the chat mentioning, like, is this if we end up getting low on the winger positions, that mean a chance for Caden Clark? New York Rebels had one of their biggest wins of the season this weekend, 4-0 over Miami, and he didn't even play. You know, so he didn't even. I think he was on the bench. I don't know if he even saw minutes. I don't think he even saw minutes off the bench. So if he's not even on the New York Red Bulls starting lineup, and we talked about it, he's dropping off a bit from the hot start earlier in the season.
Yeah,
there's certain guys. Nick's waving at us for something there.
Yeah, because let's get him in because I know he has. I've seen this update, and I know he has an update.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
An Emmy update from Nicholas Soup and Salad. Is that what we got?
We've got a winner, Jason Sudeikis. Ooh. Lead actor in a comedy series winner. So that's the first award since we started. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's three awards on the night for Ted Lasso. So
now, is this in-person Emmys or are these on virtual?
No, they're there. Sure.
He's there right now. He's giving his speech right now.
I saw something. Awesome. I saw a tweet. Apparently he gave Christian Pulisic a birthday shout-out from the red carpet. So he's all in on the soccer stuff, Mr. Sudeikis. We've got to get him on the show. I know everybody wants a piece of Jason Sudeikis right now, but...
We're gonna make him want to talk soccer, and like he's not gonna be ready for that.
I wouldn't do that to him. No, I wouldn't do that to him.
Beard will make him talk soccer.
Yeah. All right. So let's go before we get to the game, and I know we're running out of time to properly play a Jay Rhodey special game. Again, sort of working out what the best system is, and thinking about the players who may be called in, and some of these things. You know what? I just lost the thought. Let's pretend I never had one. Let's just move on because I thought I had something else to add to this, but we'll leave it there.
That's an old dad senior moment right there.
It's all Nicholas Soup and Salad's fault because he interrupted. No, that's fine.
No, maybe we asked him to.
We did. Yeah. No, he did his job. I do remember. It was simply about not only do you have maybe some guys who will come in because they're in good form or they're coming back from injury, like a Musa, like a Jossie Zardes, you have some guys who aren't injured but are in bad situations with their clubs suddenly. Now, McKennie's situation is complicated by the fact that he screwed up in Nashville, but he's also in a very precarious situation at Juventus right now They're not winning. He didn't play against Milan. What's his status? The fans really don't like him anymore. They pretty much turned on him. And then you can sprinkle in a couple of other guys that are just having a very rough time of it, even in MLS. You know, Ricardo Pepi may be our savior, but he now has to go through a managerial change at FC Dallas between now and the October window. Now, maybe that doesn't affect him, and Dallas will, you know, promote from within to cover for Luchy Gonzalez being fired. But that's not, that doesn't make me feel comfortable.
I got enough time for the game still. We can talk to Luchy for a second. I feel, do you feel the Luchy Gonzalez firing is rushed?
I feel the Luchy Gonzalez firing is surprising more than anything, because I was not convinced that Dallas cared enough about their on-field record in MLS to fire a guy who had been with the academy and was promoted to the top job. And now you've broken...
This is your Lincoln guy.
Yeah, you've broken that magic, right? Now there are other people that have been bringing players along through the academy, but Luchy... You know, Luchy was there when Pomichael and Ferreira and Pepe and Brian Reynolds and Reggie Cannon,
and you're mentioning these players, and think about that. If you are mad at your coach for where you are in your season, that's normally why a coach is released. You have taken from him. Now, it's not his choice.
Go ahead.
The general manager, as far as I know, is the one that's making the choices to let Tanner Tessman leave. Let Brian Reynolds leave. Let Reggie Cannon leave. You know, trade Barrios. Like, there are essential elements of this team that this coach had taken from him and not replaced with any kind of quality. We talked about the fact that this team is the only team in the league that has no player that's played on any other MLS team.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So given, let's say you give a guy a bunch of dried pasta and said, make the nicest five-course Italian meal you possibly can.
Yeah.
The guy hasn't been given the ingredients.
It's more than just a GM in Dallas. It's the ownership, right? This goes back to the Clark Hunt and Dan Hunt and how they handle that team. And what's odd to me, I'm not crying necessarily for Luchy, because they've been bad, right? And you lose to Houston, who is also bad, and that's the kind of moment that gets you fired as a coach. But as an organization, they talk about, we want to make players and sell players, and we want to help the national team, and this is who we are all about. And then you make bad signings. Franco Jara was a bad signing. Ricuarte hasn't been great. They burned through a number of Argentine players who haven't been, you know, Moro Diaz isn't coming back. He's not walking through that door, right? It's like, how can you possibly, as a head coach at a club like that, succeed in any particular way when basically they hand you a bunch of kids and say, make it work, and then a bunch of veterans who can't get the job done and say, make it work? Like you said, it's the ingredients are the problem, not necessarily what the coach can do with them.
Yeah, and if you're a prospective Dallas coach, like, do you want this job? Is this a job where you're supported?
I saw someone say that this is the bottom third in the league job. FC Dallas. Absolutely.
Look at Oscar Pereira. I mean, Oscar Pereira, they let him go somehow, you know, they didn't let him go. Obviously, he moved for another job. But, like, I don't see the guy that's going to – it's almost like as bad as RSL. Which is worse, RSL or Dallas, in terms of your – is it better if your coach just ditches you for an assistant job? Or is it worse to give ingredients for success and know that that's what you're going to get and take the coaching job?
Well, I think RSL's job right now is less desirable because you don't know what the new owner is going to do when they come in. But the FC Dallas, all things being equal outside of that, FC Dallas is the worst job. It's a worse job. You're not set up to win in MLS. At least RSL makes an effort. They signed Rusnak. They've got some decent players that if you put them out there properly can win some games. They're not going to dominate. But they may be a playoff contender. That's where RSL is. Meanwhile, FC Dallas is in 11th place right now, and it's bad. All right, let's play your game. Let's play the Jay Rodius game. You want your music for this?
Oh, sure. All right, tonight's game, and Nick, you're gonna have to make an appearance for this. Okay. Now, I'm not gonna lie. This one may be in Jason's wheelhouse more than yours, but I believe in you, Nick. I believe in you. Because at the end of the day, it's also about just being creative with these answers, okay? So we're going to play a game I call Two Touch, okay? What we're going to take is we're going to take a famous movie the answer is going to be a famous movie combined with a famous soccer player's name. Okay?
Okay. This is so Rodius. This is so you. This is the most Rodius game I've heard in a while now.
So yeah. The correct answer will be the name of the new movie title that has these two things pushed together. And sure. I'm going to give you the plot of the movie that would be for these two things pushed together. Uh-huh. So I'm going to give you the plot. And then if you can't get it from the plot line, I'll give you some additional hints as well. Okay? So the first one, and basically what you'll do is you'll just say your name, and you'll get the buzz in, and you each get one try with just the plot line. If you need hints, we'll go from there, okay? It's first one to buzz in, gets first one to answer. So a couple of these could be head turns. I'm going to start with a pretty easy one, I think, to start, okay?
Can I ask a question first?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Are these movies?
Yes, TV everything shows? Is a movie and a soccer a soccer name put together. I didn't use TV or anything like that.
All right.
Which is why I'm wondering if we've put you at a detriment here, Nick, because I know some movies you're good with, some you aren't. So we'll see, though. All right. So first plot line for this new movie title is the hottest keeper in MLS is trying to solve crimes with the unlikeliest of partners.
Got it, Nick.
Whoa, Nick, what is it?
Turner and Hooch.
That's what's the full name?
Okay,
Matt Jason. Turner and Hooch.
Now here's the thing. We're learning the game. We're gonna just this one time. We're let that go because we're learning the game.
No, he gets the point.
Needs to be title. Full
I'm
title.
Not trying to steal that from him. I got it.
Matt Turner.
So Hooch. Now we know how it works. Got it.
I gave you a really easy one to get to that. Okay, yeah. So just so you can understand the game a little bit. 1 point to Mr. Nicky Soup and Sausage.
The only one I'll get.
I don't know about that.
Probably not.
Next one for you, gentlemen. Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth are trying to figure out if they are the father of the U.S. women's best all-time player.
Nick.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Mamma Mia Ham.
Nicely done. Mamma Mia Ham for Nicky Soup and Salad.
I'm just slow on the uptake. First of all, I've never seen Mamma Mia, so there's that.
I haven't
Here
either.
Here am I. Jeez, crap. See, I almost put ABBA is trying to like help, but I didn't know if that was going to be too much. I didn't know if you guys knew Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth were in that movie or not. So
I have seen enough like trailers of it to know that, but that's it. I was just slower than Nick. He's got a quicker brain than I do, apparently. Yeah.
See, Nick's on it, man. I told you, this is his game.
If I get skunked in this game, then Nick will never be able allowed to play a game on this show ever again, just so you know.
Next one up. This one might be a little bit of a, we'll see. We'll see. When two best friends fight over the same wedding venue, this U.S. men's national team striker legend comes out with a bloody eyebrow.
Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
Brian McBridezilla?
That is incorrect.
I don't know
Nick,
what movie
do you
this
want
is.
A free chance at this?
Can you reread the clue?
Yeah. When two best friends fight over the same wedding venue, this U.S. men's national team striker legend comes out with a bloody eyebrow.
I need more clues.
Okay. So
wait, hold on. Is this now two?
You want
Nick?
A second try?
No.
Nick passed. So
I passed.
No, I understand
so
that.
But the hint will be for both of you. The hint
will be
for
buzzing
both of
in
you.
Again. I got it. Okay.
The movie stars Anne Hathaway and Kate Hudson. Does that help?
Not for me.
Because I think you think the name of that movie is Bridezilla. So I think that's
don't know what movie. I literally cannot pull this movie. Whatever. I can picture those actresses, but I can't tell you.
Okay. Let's say this. Let's see. Let's say when the two the word that you guys are missing here has to do more with I would say international combat, like a world something.
International
WW2. Think of WW2.
Jason, I guess.
Go ahead.
Brian McBride Wars? I don't.
There you go. Brian McBride Wars. Bride Wars is the name of that movie.
I had no idea that existed.
Wow, never.
I had
heard
no
of that
idea
movie.
that existed.
That's for the romantic comedies and the ladies in the audience, maybe, So
I like a romantic comedy. My wife has seen every single
movie's
romantic
not that great.
Comedy.
I've seen it. It's not that
but
great.
But I don't. And I do have a thing ish for Kate Hudson, although it's been a while.
Congratulations, Nicholas Murray, who had that answer
had
in the
it.
Chat. So
yeah, there it is.
But listen, you got to throw some of the different variations out there. Listen, I had to kind of piece that one together. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. All right.
All right. Your next one. A soccer player in Sandy, Utah is trying to figure out if the stadium full of fans are not entertained.
Oh, my God.
Nick.
Yes.
Justin Gladiator.
Nicely done. Justin Gladiator is the correct answer. 3-1 to Mr. Nicky Soup and Salad.
We're falling behind again. This is not good. I just couldn't, for whatever reason, my brain's not firing today.
All right.
I have a 7 month old. That's my excuse. I don't sleep. Oh, okay. That's my excuse.
Okay. You should watch more movies when you can't sleep at night.
maybe.
Your next one is three kids hire a low budget bodyguard with a crooked nose to protect them from the town bully, a former MLS striker turned ESPN pundit.
Oh my God.
Three kids hire a low budget bodyguard with a crooked nose to protect them from.
Nick.
Yes.
Jeez. Drillbit Taylor Twelman.
Nicely done. Drillbit Taylor Twelman is the correct answer. Drillbit Taylor is the name of the movie with Owen Wilson.
I've never heard of that movie either. About Nick.
I've never seen it, but I knew the crooked nose was Owen Wilson.
You have a brain full of movies you've never seen.
Here's the thing, though. If you can get the player, you can piece together what movie you've heard of maybe goes with it.
I've never heard of Drillbit Taylor. This is the first time I've ever heard of that movie. Yeah.
That's also how I got it, because he gave me Taylor Twelman.
Yeah, I got
that
clue,
and I had to think of a movie with the name Taylor in it.
Yeah,
or starting with
the
man,
crooked
I
nose.
Guess.
Yeah,
I
Owen Wilson.
Nikki with a 4-1. I don't think you can come back at this point, but we're gonna do these last two here. All right, so this one right here. This was gonna be a deep cut. This one might be a little bit hard. We'll see. When a hitman's dog is killed, he needs the help of an MLS striker that played only two top goal scoring seasons with the Columbus Crew before going on to a successful career in the Premiership.
Jason.
Yeah.
Stern John Wick.
Stern John Wick is correct, sir.
I knew Stern John, too.
The John Wick was too easy of a lead-in, but I didn't know if Stern John was going to be hard for people to come up with or not.
I also thought
McBride somehow being used again?
I was like, I gotta buzz in for this, but what's that? Stern.
Oh, this would have been a good one. Don Fredo, that would have been a good one. Deuce Bigelow. I could have gone with...
How would you have done, like...
I don't know. I'm not sure how I would have done it. Nicknames.
That makes it rough. Okay.
All right, your last one. And I'm going to tell you right now, I may have taken a slight liberty with this one.
Oh, this is the last one you have prepared?
This is the last one I have prepared now. Oh, okay.
So like we could end up in a tie then.
No, it's 4-2 right now.
4-2. Is it 4-2? All right, I lost.
4-2. Wait to try to cheat and make it happen, though.
I'm out of here.
No, one more. All right, this one. One of two MLS brothers tries to find love in a movie somehow starring Julia Roberts, Jamie Foxx, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Alba, Kathy Bates, Jessica Biel, Bradley Cooper, Patrick Dempsey, Jennifer Garner, Topher Grace, Ashton Kutcher, Queen Latifah, Taylor Lautner, and as always, Hector Elizondo.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it again?
A pair of MLS brothers? Is that what you
said? One of two MLS brothers tries to find love in a movie somehow starring Julia Roberts, Jamie Foxx, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Alba, Kathy Bates, Jessica Biel, Bradley Cooper, Patrick Dempsey, Jennifer Garner, Topher Grace, Ashton Kutcher, Queen Latifah, Taylor Lautner, and as always, Hector Elizondo. Don't look in the chat. Don't look in the chat. No,
I looked in the chat. I can't win. I looked in the chat. I saw it. I'm going to cry foul on this, but go ahead.
I told you I took a liberty with this one.
This is a liberty I don't like. This is a liberty I cannot
abide.
Nick,
can you get it without looking at the chat?
Cannot abide this liberty.
If not, I'll give Nicholas Murray the win.
Was this movie called Valentine's Day?
Well, what's the name of the movie that you're trying to get?
I'm out.
I'll tell you right now, there's no MLS player named Valentine.
There is not. There but the way not. This game is played, you just have to
Valentine,
use the whole name.
Valentine. Shoot. Who does he play for now?
Houston.
Yeah, he's in Houston.
Formerly Portland.
Why can't I think of his first name?
Points going to Nicholas Burry in the chat, who said Zarek Valentine's Day. Valentine is spelled. His whole name is used in Valentine's Day to start the next one. I didn't skip a single letter. The entire Valentine is used in to start the next one, which is Valentine's Day.
So I was right. That was the movie.
Yes.
His name's not Valentine. His name's Valentine. My wife's name is Valentine.
I took a liberty.
There's at least a tiny little chance that my wife and Zarek Valentine are related, but I don't know how to like confirm.
And by the way,
that.
If people don't know, his brother Julian Valentine played for the Galaxy, but now I think he's the social director for Colorado Rockies.
I forgot that.
And was a U.S. national team. That's U.S. national team player.
Sort
as well.
Of like how Sasha's still playing and his brother is doing what? What is Gordon doing? He's with the Galaxy too, or something like that.
Wait, Sasha has a question.
Yes.
I didn't know he had a brother.
You didn't know that that Sasha Kleshtin had a brother named, I believe his name is Gordon?
I did not.
Am I remembering this
wrong? Does he have a mustache as well?
No, I don't think so.
The funny part about this right now is you're trying to Google Sasha Kleshta and you don't know how to spell it.
No, I do. It's K-L-J-E-S-T-A-N. I know that. I've written that dude's name a lot of times. Okay,
you spell Sasha right down the first try without looking?
Yeah, it's S-A-C-H-A. That's how he spells Sasha. Yeah.
All right, just making sure.
Gordon is working for the LA Galaxy front office last time I checked. Yeah, see? There you go.
Nicholas Murray's got all the trivia tonight.
Nicky Soup and Salad remembers movies he's never seen. I remember random stuff about Gordon Kleshta, apparently, a person you didn't even know existed.
That wasn't the game.
We should do that. Let's play a game where I give you the name of a player, and you're like, is that a real person or a fake person?
That's similar to some other stuff we've done before. But this game, thumbs up for this game, two touch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, Johnny, Nicky Super Salad wins. All of a sudden, it's a great game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it's feeling great.
Plus, I love a good pun.
Before we get out of here, anything important that hits the chat, we will definitely bring in. But I do think, and I didn't want to make this a centerpiece of the show because we know what it is. But the U.S. Women's National Team played a game, Jared. Should we not acknowledge the game?
They beat up on another really bad team and then not be properly prepare themselves for a world stage?
At that part we don't know yet. But they did beat Paraguay 9-0. Carly Lloyd scored 5 goals. 5! She scored 5 goals, Jared.
Why is she retiring?
Because that's Paraguay, and she's not going to be doing that against Germany or Sweden. It is what it is. I think it's like almost this is fan service, and that sucks because it means something about the women's game not being supported enough that they can bring in a legitimate country to play in some fall friendlies. This is the down period, right? This is the lead into the lead into
the fact of the matter is there's only one team anywhere close to our region that is a challenge for the U.S., and that's Canada. There's the U.S. literally needs to start having some players play in Europe and do friendlies in Europe. They will get better quality of competition there than they will here. That's just the unfortunate evolution of the cycle for women's soccer right now. Yeah. Mexico's not competition. All the Central American teams are competition. Even Brazil now is not necessarily competition the way it used to be. They need to get games.
Okay. I mean, in terms of
distance, Brazil, you might as well go to Europe.
Oh, no. Paraguay's down there, too. That's the thing. I mean, obviously, they're bringing them up. And look, they said stuff like, this is the team we can get to come in to play this game. You have quarantining issues. You have all that stuff. So I don't know. Oh, this is something I forgot to mention. And JTT did sort of come past it. We do remember how England and the Premier League said we're not going to release players if they have to go to red list countries because then they have to quarantine when they come back and we don't want to miss out on those players for Premier League games. But the U.S. dodged this because none of the games we played were in red list countries.
Yeah,
I don't know how often the red list is revised. Right. I got to go back and look at that. But based on where things were as of a week ago or whatever, the English-based players would not be able to play the Panama game for sure. Obviously, the other two games in the United States. So when we talk about, and just like with this last window, we have to talk about these three games. We kind of have to take them as a group because they're so close together, but also individually because you're going to probably rotate quite a bit. Maybe Christian Pulisic's not available for Panama.
That would make Sargent as well. I mean, maybe there might Josh be worth Sargent's next. Maybe available. Next week we put together an entirely Europe-less roster that could play in Panama. I know we're talking about England right now, but Italy's talked about doing this. Other countries have talked about doing this as well. Do we put together potentially an England-less roster or even a European-less roster that may have to go down to Panama and try to get a result?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they have a bunch of guys based in England right now, but there are a couple of names.
But Italy has talked about doing this as well. Spain has talked about doing this as well. October.
Didn't the last time though? I don't know.
I know, but that could be setting up the narrative to be actually do it come October though.
Okay, all right.
These club teams don't want to let their players go. That's nothing new. No club has ever wanted their players to go to international duty. They finally have a reason not to let them.
No, that's I know that, but that showdown is something I think they want to be careful with. Although the two-year World Cup, the biennial World Cup idea, and the change in the windows, that thing is picking up some steam. I had Alexi Lalas, everyone's favorite ginger TV broadcaster, on my radio show. Did you know about my radio show? I always feel like I have to remind you that I have a radio show.
Do you get like 2 months off in the summer like Stern?
WNBC. WNBC.
Did you not negotiate for that?
I wish. I wish. Do not. I had Alexi on, and they flew him and a bunch of other guys to Doha to talk to them about this idea of a World Cup every 2 years and
stupid.
A change in the international schedule. And he's like, I haven't decided yet, is what Alexi said. And but John Terry was talking
the,
about
the change in the schedule for the qualifier and windows. I'm open to that conversation, like having it done all in one bigger chunk, and like, and not having every couple months you'd lose them for a week or two. That there's a credibility to that. Changing the World Cup to every 2 years is like saying Christmas twice a year. Christmas is great. Wouldn't you like to have it twice a year? Yeah, then it wouldn't be any special.
No,
you know,
I
can't do a fireplace in July.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. You're in Southern California. It's what is it, like 75, and you guys got the sweaters out? Like, what's going on?
What, in December?
Whenever you get your cold weather, like whatever. I don't know.
There's some nights I get down to the 40s and I light myself a fire. To be quaint, like the Easterners.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that you say that you would be open to the idea of discussing the windows. I'm not sure I want that. I mean, I guess if you did it, I would adjust. I would normalize.
There's so much travel for these players already.
I know. I know. And I do think about the players. However, like, and I know this is special right now because of the COVID effect on the World Cup qualifying process, but the rhythm of the qualifying process changes so much. And as a national team first kind of guy, like, I like the fact that I don't have to wait very long. We had games in September. Oh, snap. I took a nap, and now there are games coming up in October, right? And then we're going to get games in November. And yes, there's a break from November until January, but we you know what I'm saying? We are going to be in a rhythm of games up until the spring of next year. And I kind of like that. And I don't know if I want to go like 6-8 months between windows. Like, that seems like too long. I mean, there's no continuity in that scenario.
I would be okay with that, and I would sacrifice that if it meant players didn't get injured as much. And I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. It would be a big gap for the leagues, and I don't think they really want that. Although you're sort of setting them up to have to deal with that kind of thing with the World Cup next year, right? Because you're playing that World Cup's happening in the winter in Qatar, so they're going to have to stop anyway. Well, then you just say, okay, well, you've already done this. Let's just keep doing this forever.
Yeah,
and
listen,
ever,
and I don't want Doha making any more decisions for us. They already rigged one World Cup and took it away from us.
They're not making the decisions. FIFA's just using their money because they have so much.
That's
of
what
it,
I'm talking about, though.
And
like
they're spreading it around.
This is the people's game. Yeah. Keep money out of it.
Speaking of the World Cup, the 2026 World Cup, we know where that's going to be. Gianni Infantino was at a football game today, and not the kind we like, the other kind, the NFL football game. And apparently with Robert Kraft, who was like angling for all these games to be happening.
The one with tight ends.
They both have tight ends, don't they?
One's official.
Jay Rodius.
Yeah, anyway. Do you have any thoughts particularly on where games should be played in 2026, especially the big ones, the semis and the final?
Are we talking about states, or are we talking about Canada, Mexico, or are we just about all of it?
I'm just talking about the U.S. I mean, we know all.
You
got to
give.
We know all the knockout round games are going to be in the U.S. That's the thing we know. I think there's a couple of games.
How many cities do you think we need to pull off in the U.S.? So I'm thinking two in Canada, two in Mexico. The
I'm
rest
pretty
in
sure
US,
it's two and two. It's two and two in Mexico and Canada is what I believe. Yes.
So does that leave? I'm the maybe six in the U.S. to do. Then I'm not sure exactly how many we need normally for a cycle. How many venues? But
well,
let's
it's
say
also
six.
It's an expanded World Cup. Remember, it's going to be the bigger World Cup. So yeah, you need.
So
a lot
in Mexico,
of spots.
You're thinking it's likely going to be Mexico City and probably Guadalajara. Those would
Guadalajara
be the two
is my
US.
Guess. Yes.
Those would be America's Stadium and Chivas Stadium. I think that's pretty.
The Azteca, and I believe that is OmniLife. Is that? Yes, OmniLife.
Could be. I mean, if they need a third, maybe they go to like a Cruz Azul stadium or something like that. Mm-hmm, I know that's a large stadium. Okay, Canada, there's rumors that Vancouver is taking themselves out. There's rumors that Montreal is taking themselves out.
That's not a rumor, and that's not a rumor either. I think it's going to be Toronto, and they're going to figure out BMO Field. And then
but the weird thing is, the thing about Canada is BMO Field's a great venue for soccer, but is it a World Cup appropriate venue? Like, you're thinking, we're thinking Rose Bowl. We're thinking Soldier Field. You know,
just
like,
because
Canada will play there once. You think you're going to put 27,000 people for a Canada home World Cup venue?
So just because when we hosted the World Cup, we had the Rose Bowl and Soldier Field hosting games, doesn't mean that most World Cups are played in 100,000 seat venues. That's not
Jason, remind me, what's the most attended World Cup of all time?
It's ours because of those giant stadiums. I understand that. But what I'm telling you is that for Canada's purposes, you don't have to go find an 80,000 seat venue. What you need is one that meets FIFA's requirements, which I believe is 40 is the minimum. And they're going to expand BMO to 45.5 somehow. That's what they're going to do. So Toronto can have a game, because you're not playing in the Rogers Center or whatever that place is called now, the baseball stadium. You're not doing that.
Yeah, Blue Jays. That's what I'm talking about. You're talking about doing it in Blue Jays home stadium?
And then Edmonton has a Canadian Football League stadium that's 56,000. So that'll be another host. And then, as you said, it's the bidding cities for Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. So Monterrey's got the big stadium there. It's a Stadio Akron in Guadalajara. I got the name of the stadium wrong, so that's okay. My fault, but... But yeah, so anyway.
In terms of the U.S., let's say six. Let's say six. Does that sound about right for you? That's 10 cities total?
I can't do math while we're talking on the show.
Okay, I'll say six. Easy ones. L.A., New York, Chicago. Boom. There's three of them out of the way right now.
Chicago's not bidding. Chicago doesn't want games.
They're saying that now. Come on. Did you really think that come time?
They're
already
not,
out.
They're out.
I thought they could come back in. They're fully out?
No. No,
they're out.
Even okay. though Canada, even though the president of CONCACAF, McTaliani, was saying,
I thought
maybe
Vancouver came in and out.
Well, so again, McTaliani said maybe Vancouver can come back in, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the other is Chicago. Chicago is like, no,
well,
we got to.
That's a missed opportunity by not putting a game in Chicago, for the record. Okay, so then my three ones that would have to: L.A., New York, and Seattle. Those would be my three locks.
Okay,
I would put
Seattle,
Dallas in there as well.
Dallas is going to get a game 100. We're going to get games 100%. There's no doubt about Dallas getting games.
And then I would talk about Atlanta being number five.
Okay, again, another place where you got to put down grass, like legitimately put down grass, not lay grass over artificial surfaces. So,
do you think they're going to miss a chance to put a game in Seattle or Atlanta?
Well, okay, so there are other, so, man, I don't think you could
potentially do San Francisco.
So the final is either going to be in LA at the new football stadium or in Jersey, right? Those are the only two places we can imagine the final being. Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody
agree on that? I would say Vegas is a consideration. I would say Philly's is a consideration.
I don't think Vegas is on the list of bidding cities. I don't believe Vegas is
there. That surprises me. That's a missed opportunity if Vegas is not on the list.
I don't think they knew. Well, I mean, I don't know. Vegas is not on the list as far as I'm aware. It's L.A., New York, New Jersey, so MetLife Stadium, D.C., which being a D.C. area guy and knowing FedEx Field, no thank you. Not because I don't want the World Cup in my backyard, because FedEx Field is the worst. Dallas, Kansas City, Denver, Houston, Baltimore, and Atlanta, Philadelphia, Nashville, Seattle, San Francisco, Boston, Cincinnati, Miami, Orlando.
Bob Kraft should not get a World Cup game until he takes his team seriously. Just my take.
They built a $20 million training facility. They've got the best team in Major League Soccer right now.
That's nice. They play on turf.
They brought in Carlos Hill and Gustavo Bowe and a bunch of other European
players.
That's
Bruce Arena magic. Don't you give Bob Kraft credit for that.
First of all, I think at least one of those
guys
came
in out here too.
Before. Yeah, Vegas. Dan's right, by the way. Vegas's field dimensions are too small. I mean, even though they did two finals there or whatever, or they're doing another final next week too with the League's Cup guys. Go ahead, Nick.
I thought I saw this week somewhere, and I can't remember where I read this, but that in order to get the final there or something, I think Bob Kraft had said they are willing to take out the field at Gillette Stadium and make it a grass surface, like
ongoing
grass. Yes.
Yeah, like we'll make this change, permanent
change.
Too much too late. He doesn't like the fact the guy wears dress shirts where the cuffs are white all the time.
I don't like the guy who pays for massages that aren't massages.
Okay, this is the time to end the show. So we're just going to say thank you very much and bid you all a good evening. A good evening, as we were talking earlier. All right, Nick, you got anything else before
we have no reviews.
No
it's
reviews.
Been a month. It's been a month
My
since
God,
we've gotten
people.
A review, besties.
We've added
Come
a bunch
on.
Of besties. Not recently. I don't have any new besties. But
we've added
a bunch of
subscribers on YouTube.
We've added like the YouTube subscription numbers are incredible growth. I mean, obviously a lot of people finding us because of qualifiers. Thank you very much. And I know like the visceral experience, the post-game call-in show, that is a special, special thing. You need to give us a review if you're jumping on. Just help us out, right? Like give us a subscribe. Smash that subscribe button or whatever you do. What do your disc golf people say when they're making their YouTube videos? What do they say?
How bang do they that pitch? Button. I don't know.
Bang them chains and bang that button. A lot of banging.
Everyone says the same thing. There's no we're not unique in some way about. We don't have like our whole like language to ourselves.
You don't have like brah. Totally smash that like brah. You guys say brah all the time, right? Yeah. You guys are totally like that, right? You're from California.
I am not proud to admit that during the pandemic, the disc golf scene has been taken over by some bros that I am not happy about. It's not the hippie culture it once was.
Bros are like zombies, man. You let them in, they multiply. It's bad.
There's way too much white zombie being played on the disc golf course these days.
Wow.
I'm trying to offset it with like ska and rocksteady, but it's not happening.
Yeah, you got to get some horns in there. There's never a bad time for horns, right? Always horns. Blowing
unless
horns.
Unless they're vuvuzelas. Vuvuzelas is definitely a wrong time for.
Yeah, they had some in Honduras. People were very upset about the vuvuzelas.
The throwback.
I was iron with it. I have fond memories of 2009 and 10, so I'm like, whatever. All right. Thank you very much to Nicholas Soup and Salad, who has no reviews for us, so he doesn't get to read. But
not his fault. Your
not
fault.
Not his fault. Give us listeners. A review. Help us out. All right. Mr. Dubois, anything else this evening?
Now we're going to do a bonus show, so get on the Patreon if you want to take part in the bonus show. You can get that at patreon.com.
Yeah, you know what we need to do for the bonus stuff, and I'll say this on the main show so people who maybe haven't subscribed yet will know. We need to do some Q&As, like a mailbag situation.
Yeah.
We are absolutely going to talk Ted Lasso on this bonus show. Oh, that's a guarantee. Not just Emmys.
Ooh, can you play the acceptance speeches? Like you can pump those down, right? We can react to those on the bonus show.
If I can find them, I could maybe do that. Is that really a thing you want
to
do?
I haven't got to hear. I would love to hear their speeches and then just react to them.
All right.
You don't understand today's culture. I'm the guy that wanted thumbnails. I'm the guy that wants reaction videos. You don't understand what the kids do these days.
I'm tied into the industry. I'm from L.A.
I'm not telling you. I got an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old to do nothing but watch reaction videos, and they react to thumbnails. Like, you don't understand things these days.
No, I'm talking about watching accepted.
Look at Nick's got my back. Speeches. Nick's got my back down there in his video. He knows
All right. We'll talk to you guys on the bonus show and next week. Bye.
Damn, dog.
In a probe.
Zage zone!
Oh, it's incredible!
Big power deal! Please allow the corner!
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Someone seems to think you have talent. But unfortunately, this is Los Angeles. I need more than talent. I need stars. Enjoy the party.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
Oh, baby!
Who asked those questions?
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
J. Rodius.